Gimel Amud Beis, 7 lines to the bottom. In the Mishnah, it was discussing, this going back to the Mishnah, who's obligated in going Eilu Regel, who's going up to the Beis HaMikdash and Yom Tov. And the Mishnah said, who's not obligated? Cheder Sheitah V'Katan, Tumtam Andrenginus, women. So now the Gemara is explaining each one of these categories, so to speak. So the Mishnah said, a Sheitah is not obligated in mitzvahs, Bechlal. So the Gemara said, Tonu Rabbanan, Eiz a Sheitah. What is the halachic definition of a shaita, of a mentally deranged person? So it says as follows: Hayeitzi yichidi balayla, one who goes out alone at night. As the Mefarshim explained that in Beverly Center, it means you go out to an uninhibited place. People are basically where it's, not Beverly Center, I think, where it's uninhabited place. And halom bevesa kvaris, one who sleeps in the cemetery. Vamekadev ksusei, a person who tears his clothing for no reason. He just rips things up. No, why? 1 second. So this Vaisa says, it classifies three definitions of a shaita. He goes out alone at night, sleeps in a cemetery, and rips his clothing for no reason at all. So now the Gemara is going to discuss, does it mean all three or just one of the three? So Gemara says, Itma, we learned, Rav Huna said, Achiyeh kulam b'vasachas. The only time he's considered a shaita if he does all three things together. Rav Yechanan argues and says, Afilu ba'achas mehem. Even if he does one of them, he's considered a shaita. Okay, now, obviously, as the Mefarshim explained, Rav Huna says he does all three, obviously does not mean all three at the same time. But one person that does all these three types of things is considered a shaita. Rav Yechanan holds even one of them. If he does any of the three, he's considered a shaita.
One doesn't do any of them, they're not a shaita?
Oh, one minute. I was going to ask. Hey, Chidami, Sigmar says, what does this mean? Idavel Uderoshtus. If the person does these things in an insane manner, afila b'chadunami, even one of the three should be considered retarded. And if he does not do it in an insane manner, that means he has, so to speak, a reason why he's doing it, then afila kulanami, even if he does all three, he's not. In other words, the Gemara says, well, what is this category of a shaita? If the guy's insane, he's insane. If he's not insane, he's not insane. I mean, how do you categorize these three things? So the Gemara says as follows. La'elam, the truth is, it's speaking a case, the ka'avad lo derashtus. He does it in a way of insanity. But, he says like this. Yeitzi yechid b'alayla, but if a guy goes out at night, I'm sorry, he skipped. Halam beveis ha'kfaris. A guy who sleeps in a cemetery, Rav Huna holds, doing one of the three will not make him a shaita. Why? Eimer, because it's possible to say, you know why the guy's doing it? He wants to do so that an evil spirit should come on him. He wants to know the feeling of an evil spirit. So even though he's meshugah for doing it, it doesn't necessarily mean he's insane. And if he goes out alone at night, it's possible to say he's not meshugah. Why does he go out alone at night? Either, Rashi says, it means he had fever, and he went out for some fresh air. Another interpretation, he was depressed. So he went out for some brain cleaning. And a Makadav Ksusei, and a guy who tears his garments, I would think, maybe he's a meditative guy, and he's meditating, he doesn't realize what he's doing. So he ripped his clothing. It's similar to Gemara says, Rava was meditating and was sitting on his thumb and it was bleeding. And he didn't even realize it because he was meditating. So Rav Huna says as follows. Rav Huna says you need all three to render you a shaita. So Gemara says, if the guy does it b'dar shtus, a way of insane, so then he shouldn't be chayv any. I mean, he shouldn't be a shaita. He should be a shaita even with one. So Rav Huna says as follows. He really did it in shtus. But Rav Huna holds, each one individually will not prove he's a shaita. Because maybe he did it for a particular reason. He wanted to get fresh air. He wanted to get an evil spirit on him. He was meditating. When a guy does all three, then obviously he's a shaiter. Yeah, but that's uncommon already.
You should be doing this all the time. It's a habit, not like...
No, the question is, does it mean he even does it once? It's possibly even once he does it. See, he brings down over here, some of us say the word lon means even once overnight. And some people say radak, lon means continuous lodging. So it's you know, whatever. So the Gemara says, Kivin Davidina Lakula, the fact that he did all three, Havaluhu, he's considered like a Mishinogach Shur Chamer V'Gomel. There's a din by goring ox. If he kills an animal once, he's called Tam. It's uncommon. He pays half damages. If an ox gores three times, he's considered a muad, meaning a continuous ox. A vildechaya. Yeah. So it says, what happens if he killed an ox, a donkey, and a camel? The Gemara says, once he killed all three animals, he's a muad for all animals. Even though he didn't kill three camels, he didn't kill three donkeys, but the fact that he does A, B, C, ox, camel, and donkey, it shows that he's a muad. The same thing, a guy who sleeps in a cemetery, and he tears his clothing, and goes out alone at night, so that shows he's a shaita completely. Amen Apapa, so Apapa asked the question, if did Rav Huna ever hear of another braisa, and this braisa chassidus brings down a lot. A braisa says, who is a shaita? Ma'abed kol mashenei simlei, one who destroys everything he is given. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa said, if Rav Huna heard this, that means even with one thing, this classified as a shaita, have a hoderbe, he would have reversed his opinion. Meaning as follows. The Braisa says, a shaita is one who destroys what he's given. So therefore, that means even if a guy tears his clothing, he should be really classified as a shaita, because he's ruining something which was given to him. So the Papa said, it's interesting, so I'm sure that if Rav Huna would have heard of this braisa, that a shaita is one who destroys what he's given, he would have retracted the statement that even if one of the three are done, he's also a shaita. Like this, Rav Huna said, you need to do all three. He said, if he heard the braisa, that even one thing makes you a shaita, he would have retracted the statement. But now the Gemara said, what would he retract from? All three, or just the tearing of the garment? So Gemara says, Iboilo, the Shiloh was asked, Ki avahot debay, if Rav Huna would reverse his opinion, would he only reverse it, mimikra ksusi huda avahot debay? He would only reverse it regarding one who renders, tears his clothing, because that's the case of ma'abed mashinasimli. He loses what he's given. The damilo, which is similar. Or dilmar, maybe, mikul avahari, he would have reversed himself from everything, all the other ones. And the Gemara says, take it, we don't know. It's interesting, what else should this use this Gemara for? Ma is bittel. Ma is the level of chochma, koach ma. So it says in Chassidus, what is a shaita? Because the Gemara says, in order to sin, you have a ruach shtus. You have a foolish shtus that comes into your head who causes you to sin. So it says in Chassidus, who is a shaita? That he loses the ma, the bittel, to godliness, which is given to him. And that's the definition of a shaita, because that causes him to do things which are sinful, which cause those evil things to happen. You know, there's a famous story about the guy got a flat outside a mental, you know, story? Huh? He said, I might be crazy, but I'm not stupid. Anyway. Okay, now, the Gemara continues, going back to the Mishnah. The ma is the bittul of the neshama, which is given to him from above. So that's a shaita. That's how Chassidus interprets it. Huh? The truth is that when Chassidus quotes the Gemara, they leave out the word kol. It's ma'abid mashenei simli, which is the bittul which is given to him. Okay, then the Mishnah also said that a tuntim and andragenus. Now in English is called undetermined sex and a hermaphrodite. Basically, a tumta means that area is closed up. You don't know if he's male or female. Andragenus has both signs of male and female. So tumta basically has neither because it's covered, we don't know. Andragenus has both. So now the shaila is he male or female? What are they? Well, that's the Hebrew better than dragonus. In English, it's called herma. In the English, it says hermaphrodite. Hermaphrodite. Huh?
Him and her.
Okay. It's called dragonus. So in the Mishnah says, a tumtum and a dragonus are not obligated to go to the Beis Hamikdash. Mishnah says, Chutz mechashed v'katan, tumtum and andreginus. Okay? So now the Gemara is discussing what's the tumtum and andreginus story. So it says, and how do you know that they don't have to go? Because they might be male. And if they might be male, maybe they do have an obligation to go. Right? So what are they? So the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, the Gemara is quoting a source for it. We learned in a Braise, it says in the Torah, by Elo Ragui says, all your male, in fact, the Torah doesn't say all Jews have to go up. The Torah says, like by Hakel, we'll see later in the Gemara, it says, Bavai Kol Yisrael. Yeah, here, the Torah doesn't say, Yeroah Kol Yisrael, Kol Zechurcha, all your male have to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, the word Zachar, the Torah could have said, Yeroah Kol Zachar. The Torah says, Yireya kol zachur cha, your zachar. Now, the Torah could have said the word zachar. So it says, zachar excludes women. Then the Torah adds an extra chaf, zachur cha, to exclude tumtim and adreginus. That they don't have to be eilo regal. Then it says, kol zachur cha, the rabbi says, ketanim, to tell us that kids do have to. In other words, kol is including. Kol means all. All includes. When the Torah says Zachar, it's exclusion. Male and not female. Zuchur Cha, Dexter Chaf is again exclusion, excludes Tumtum and Adraigenis. So Zuchur Cha teaches us three dinim. Women not, Tumtum and Adraigenis not. But then the Pasuk says, Yera Kol Zuchur Cha, all males have to meet, go up, meaning even kids have to go up. Okay.
Maybe
Zachar
could be Jewish, Gentiles.
Zachar
is male.
Yeah, but the Torah could have said, but why call Yisrael?
Zachar is male.
No, but if the Torah would, the Torah would have used the word by about the Bnei Yisrael. Bechlau, and I'm thinking of something else also, even more. By mitzvahs, the Torah doesn't say not goyim. The Torah gives a mitzvah, it means Jews. The Torah says, put on tefillin. It doesn't say Jews. Obviously, Jews, keep Shabbos. It automatically refers to Jews. Goyim are not obligated to mitzvahs. Yeah, but that's not a mitzvah going up to the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, you're right. The seven night laws they have to keep. We're talking about Tariag mitzvah, the 613, that they don't have to do. They were allowed to bring korbanos. They were accepted. Well, you're supposed to.
Well, someone for Kohenim, someone for...
So the Kohenim did it for them.
Yeah, but they were doing 613?
The Kohenim did it for them.
All 613.
No, the mitzvah is only Kohenim were allowed to do. When a Kohen did it, he fulfilled our obligation. He was our representative.
If you
So you're not mochiv to do those mitzvahs.
But if you had
one of the mitzvahs is a get. So it's a mitzvah to divorce your wife. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is, if you're splitting, you have to do it with a get. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, shechita. And if you want to be vegetarian, you have a mitzvah to shecht. Mezuzah, if you want to live in your car, you want to live on the benches, the Beverly Hills benches, there's no chiv mezuzah. You're not obligated to buy a house to put up a mezuzah. So the same mitzvah, the Torah says, if the opportunity arises, you have to do it. It doesn't mean you're not keeping the mitzvah. Right. No, because in Kabbalah it says, not related to Robertson, in Kabbalah it says that all neshamas, the Alter Rebbe says, has to come down, that is all right, all neshamas have to come down until they do all tayag mitzvahs. To keep coming down. The question is, how many kings can you have? There's a lot of mitzvahs connected only to a king. Not a lot of wives, not a lot of money, not, you know, all that, yeah? So, even if the neshama comes down, but how many kings are there? Right? Or for that matter, how many kohenim can you have already? So it says in Kabbalah that the kohenim and the melech is meitzi, the people. That means, if you have a melech, so it's like you did the mitzvahs of a melech. In fact, the Rebbe takes it even a step further. The Rebbe says, how could there be a shliach if you don't have a shaychus to it? So the Rebbe said, every Jew is mamlechus koyanim, every Jew has a connection to melech and koyin, and therefore they could be made to you with it. Because every Jew has a connection to be a melech and a koyin. Okay. So Amamad, we just got through saying in the Gemara, Zachar lehetis hanashim, that the word Zachar excludes women. That means, without the pasuk Zachar, I would think even women have to go up to the base of Migdash. So the Gemara says, Halam alikra, why do I need a pasuk? It's a mitzvah that says Shezman Grama, but Chol mitzvah that says Shezman Grama, Nashim Beturis. Okay? Meaning, the Gemara learns that any mitzvah connected to time, women are not obligated to do. So the question is, going up to the base of Migdash on Yom Tiv is a mitzvah connected to time. It's only on Yom Tiv. So why would women be obligated anyway? In other words, the Gemara is saying, the Pasuk Zachor, excludes women. Which means without the Pasuk, I would think women would have to go up. Why would I think they have to go up? It's connected to time. They don't have to do it. So the Gemara says, Isha, I need the Pasuk. Because without the Pasuk, I would think women do have to go up to the base of Migdash. Why? There's a mitzvah of Hakel post Shemitah year. The Torah says clearly all women have to go up, men, women, and children. Over there it says the word Ri'iyah, and by Yom Tov it says the word Ri'iyah. Okay? Over there it says B'vaykol Yisol Ri'iyah, it says Pnei Hashem. And here it says Yirakol Zuchurcha. So I would think that just like Hakel, women have to do, because the Torah explicitly says they have to go up. So I would think that even Chag, they have to go up to the base of Migdash. I mean, I would have a special person to think so. So therefore, Malahal and Noshim Chayavas. Just like by Hakel, women are obligated to do. Because the Torah says clearly, gather the men, women, and children. So I would think Af Noshim. Therefore, by the mitzvah of coming up to the base of Migdash, I would think women are also obligated. So therefore, I need the word Zuchurcha to exclude them. But without the Pasuk Zuchurcha, I would think that women would have to go up to the base of Migdash. Just like we find, there are certain mitzvahs that women have to do, even though they're bound to time. Like eating matzah they have to do, making kiddush they have to do, even though it's a mitzvah connected to time. Yeah, but that's a rabbinic mitzvah. I'm talking even the biblical mitzvahs. Why do women have to make Kiddush or hear Kiddush? Because Zachar v'Shamar. They have to keep not desecrating Shabbos, so therefore they have to eat make Kiddush. By Matzah it says, don't eat Chametz, eat Matzah. The fact that they're obligated in the negative commandments of don't eat Chametz, so they're obligated in the positive mitzvah too. So therefore, I would think that here also, because we learn out Hakel, Beis HaMikdash from Hakel, so I would think just say by Hakel women are obligated. I would think by Beis Yom Tov they also have to go up. So the Pesuk says no, it's a Churcha, they don't have to go up. Amar Mad, Gemara says like this. We just got through saying the next section. Baltumtum and Andreganis. It says in the Pesuk Zilchur Cha, which is extra Chav, which excludes Tumtum and Andreganis. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam Andreganis, I know a concept of Andreganis, why you have to exclude him. Because Sal Kadaitach, I mean, I would think, Hurl the Isli Tzad Zachris. Since he has a masculine side also, so I would think he'd be chayiv. Kamash Malon, it teaches us, Bria Befnei Atzme, he's a creature by himself. I'll explain this in a second. Elo Tumtum, Sveikuhu, but a Tumtum is a doubt. Me Yitzel Kol Muti Sveiku, do I need a verse, a pasuk, to exclude a doubt? Meaning as follows. A male, Andreganus, has male and female. So at least he's male. So I understand, because he's partially male, the Torah has to say he doesn't have to go up. I would think he has to go up. The Torah says, no, he doesn't go up. But Tumtum is neither. So why would I think he has to go up? Because of a doubt? For a doubt, you wouldn't have to be a Lerago. So the Mephoshim asked that. But I mean, conceptually, the Gemara is saying that he would have to go up. The Andreganus would have to go up because at least he has male parts. So therefore, I would think he would have to go up. So the Pasuk has to say to me, no. But Tumtum, he has neither. So why would I ever think that a Tumtum has to go up? So the Gemara answers, I'll tell you, Amar Abaye. This is a little funny Gemara, but anyway. Shebeitzav mibachutz. Speaking a case when his testicles are outside the membrane. That means the testicles are there. But the organ itself is not noticeable. So then I would think that he would have to go up because obviously he's a little bit male. He has testicles. So then I would think, so the pasuk tells me he doesn't have to go up. So the pasuk says he doesn't have to go up. No, even women are allowed to go. There's no obligation for them to go.
Outside the membrane doesn't mean that outside.
I don't know exactly. I had to speak to the doctors. He says the membrane is only covering the Ava, the penis area, not the actual testicles.
No, some of them are, they go undescended testicles. They stay up and
they don't go down.
They come down sometimes. Sometimes they don't.
So they may have a din of a tumtum in the, if he doesn't have the other organs not revealed. But Moshe, it says in Halacha that if a tumtum, if the membrane rips, and it's visible that he's male, then he's a full fledged male. And the Gemara is saying here a very interesting concept, by the way. I mean, not that there's something you have to harp on a lot. The Gemara says Andreganus is a separate creature. It's not male and it's not female. He has both. That's the definition of andreganus. But the Gemara says, the Pasuk is teaching me that Briya Bifnei Atzma. I would think he would have to go up because he has male parts. So the Torah says, no, he is not male, he's not female, he's andreganus. Tumtum is not a creature by itself. We just don't know. Tumtum means hidden. It's verstopped. It's covered. Well, we don't know what he is. But he's either male or female. We just don't know. So the Gemara says Tumtum is not a B'riya B'fnei Atzmei. And that's why Tumtum could one day, if it rips open, you could find out if he's Zachar Nekeva. Yeah, but here women are potter. Yeah, he's not less of a category in mitzvahs of a woman. Correct.
But didn't they generally take their wives anyway? Because you can't leave your wives at home.
And kids.
Why not?
Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't.
Planes and cars then?
During the Moedim?
Walk, you know, 500 miles.
You know what? Some did, some didn't. Bottom line of it.
Same as today.
Same today. Some go away to New York for Tishrei. They leave their wives and kids in Israel. Some bring the wives, you know, it depends. The question is there an obligation for them to go? If they want to go, there's nothing stopping them from going.
Going where?
To the Beit HaMikdash. To 770. So am I. So am I.
Unless
the Chabad
thinks that, you guys are...
Darizo says that all the present-day Levim, when Mashiach comes, they're going to become Kohanim.
Yes, maybe you'll be the Kohen Gadol.
Maybe. I'm working on it.
Okay.
You vote for me.
Oh, you
might
split the vote.
Okay. No, they went to... Aliyah, that could mean... The Gemara learns out, we're going to learn later in the Gemara, that somebody can't walk, so there's no chiyuv to go. But does it mean they have to walk? It could be very hard for people to walk from Bnei Brak. I don't know how far these things are. Huh? It could be very far. Huh? Because the Gemara is going to talk about later what the Eilo Rego, what's the Lashon Rego if a person can have a. Doesn't say. There's a story of a chassid with Alter Rebbe. He always went up to the Alter Rebbe by foot. He never went in a wagon. And then when he got old, he couldn't walk anymore. He stopped going. So he said to him, but to go with a wagon, he said, I should share the reward with an ox, with a behemoth, with a horse, whatever. I don't recall that it should say anywhere that the Imam had to go by foot. I mean, no, because they don't own land. Okay, Amar Madig Mar continues and says, yeah, but would they be mechuyev in Bikurim? I don't know, maybe they are, if they own land. Look at Achaz Bikurim. Should be even the Mishnah in Bikurim, as Thomas says. Amar Ma, we said before in the Gemara, kol zechurcha, the extra word kol, includes kids. Right? So Gemara says, how would you mean including kids? The first Mishnah we learned in the Masechta says, hakol chayavim b'riya, chutz michere shayte v'katan. Our Mishnah says clearly in the first page, on the first line, it says, that the kid is not obligated. And here you're telling me the word kol zechurcha includes kids. It's Mamish going against the Mishnah. So my answers, Omer Abaya, my answers, like Ash, it depends if the kid reaches the age of chinuch, meaning he's old enough to be trained in the mitzvah, he's chayiv. Kan, the cotton shalei higir lechinuch. An Amish is speaking about a kid that's not a 2-year-old, 3-year-old. So Gemara is not a contradiction. The pasuk includes kids that are of chinuch age of training. They have to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. The Amish that says kids don't have to go up is speaking kids under the age of training. Usually it's around 6 or 7. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? It's only rabbinic, and they're learning out from a pasuk. We're learning out from the word kol, that kids of the chinuch age are obligated to go to the Beis HaMikdash, but chinuch is only rabbinic. How could you say it's biblical? So the Gemara says, Enoch Anami, you're right, it's only rabbinic. What are we learning out from the pasuk? Ukra asmachta ba'almahu. The pasuk is only supporting the rabbinic thing. You're right, it's only rabbinic. But there's a hint in the Chumash to show that kids of training age have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, so then what does the Pasuk really teach us? You can't say he's coming to teach us a din of Rabbanon, that a kid rabbinically is obligated to go. So what does the word kol as an extra word, what does it really teach us? This is interesting. Kirachedim, like other people say. The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Achedim, Amen, the mother say, Hamakamitz. Hamakamitz. In the olden times, they used to have people in the street, they used to collect the dog excrement. Yeah, the dog do, as we call it. So, those people, or Mitzar and Cheshis, smelt copper ore, or Bursi, a leather tanner, Pturim and Ariya do not have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. They stink. The body odor, I was going to explain the Lunar from a Pasuk. Shenemer, because it says, calls Chorcha all your males, meaning, Misha Yachal Alisim calls Chorcha, one who is able to go with everybody. Yatsa Elo, these people, Shenemer Alisim calls Chorcha, they can't go up because of the repulsive odor. Now, it's interesting because the Rambam says these people should clean themselves up and go. They're obligated to clean themselves up and to go.
These three guys.
Yeah. So they learn that the Rambam is not arguing against the Gemara, obviously. The Gemara is speaking if they don't clean themselves up. And the Rambam says they should clean themselves up and go. In other words, it's very simple. If they don't have the body odor, they have to go. If they repulse the odor, they don't have to go. So the Gemara said, where do you learn it out from? To negate that they don't have to go? From the extra word kol. That means the extra word kol is excluding, not adding. Normally the word kol adds. Here the word kol is excluding. That only somebody that can go up with everybody together, he has an obligation to go. But these people don't. Right. Now you're being done over here, it's interesting, Machlekes. Some Poskim write that the odor of these people is absorbed in the body and they can't clean themselves up. So they hold it's a permanent not going up. The Rambam learns that the Gemara is only referring to a person who can't clean themselves up. But if they could, then they have an obligation to go. It's very interesting.
As she says over here, the comments to make the leggings.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, 1 second. The Gemara says in Ksubis, but Rashi says, Mekamez biyodit says klovim. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah. Simply means a guy that gathers with his hand. They didn't have plastic gloves in those days, right? Plastic bags, okay. So then it says, Ani, why did he, Rashi saying, what in the world are they collecting it for? No, Rashi says, they would work 10 hides with this says klovim. That's what she says.
Oh, that's why his tongue's standing high.
Yep. It probably softened it to a certain extent.
No, the burn as fuel, the manure of cows.
See, here. Gemara, I don't know if she Gemara has it. What's called Lukutri Rashi from different places. No, you don't have it. But a Rashi in a different place says, Lo yadaiti matzeirich bo. Rashi said, I don't know. There's a Rashi in a different Gemara. Rashi said, I don't know what's the purpose of it. But Rashi says, Ba Ashkenaz in Germany, Rashi says, Reisi, Shoshen ben Abgodim, they would soak the garments in this dog manure, Lefnei kibus in Yema Yemayim, a day or two. Yeah. And it stings very far away. Do you know that in Israeli army, when their hands are dirty, they wash it with dirt? Do you know the dirt gets your hands clean?
That's halacha for that water, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because it cleans. No, I'm saying. I can never believe it. I was the guys who working in my house, and their hands were all greasy. I'm talking a long, long time ago. And they were going outside and they were washing their hands with dirt. They said, "What are you doing?" They said, they were Israeli guys. And he said, "Are you kidding? This is the best thing to clean the grease. Because there's acid in the earth that cleans the grease. Do you know that water dries? If your face is oily or wet, if you put water on it, it dries up your skin. Do you know water dries your skin? Water dries your skin. Dirt cleans. So obviously what Rashi's saying over here is that this manure probably has acid something in it that gets garments clean. Then you wash it out. What? Fertilizer makes things grow.
Maybe this acid removes the...
I think it's for tanning.
No, here Rashi says for tanning. But in another Gemara, they quote Rashi from different Gemaras. Rashi in a different Gemara says they did it to clean clothing. Or for fertilizer. No, Rashi is just explaining why in the world should be a guy that collects dog, let it just stay there. You know. So they used it for something.
I've seen
it. Everything the Eibishter made, he used.
I've seen in the countryside, they pick up the big cow defecations, and they take them, they dry them off, and they burn them for fuel.
Could be, sure.
In wintertime, all the silos, that's how they heat them up.
Yeah?
Where the animals are.
No way.
I've seen them in different parts of the world.
Listen. Obviously, they used to do it in the olden times. The Gemara's not making up a Baba Maisa. The Gemara said that's what they used to do in the olden times. In Afghanistan, maybe. And they make you clean it up.
And they don't even get paid. Volunteers.
Obviously, today, just in a practical sense, I don't think any of these dinim would apply because today we have soaps. And things that can remove all these odors. You can put on deodorant, perfume. I mean, something that would still not free a person going...
Like a person who smokes a cigarette.
Yeah.
Smokes cigarettes. Even if he doesn't smoke for 24 hours, his breath still smells.
Smells from cigarettes.
It's in the blood. The blood gets cleaned through the lungs, and it continues coming out.
Right. Okay. Okay, then they said in the Mishnah, women are not obligated to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, and avodim sheinim meshuchararim, slaves that are not freed. Meaning, because we learned, obviously, a Jewish slave we're not talking about. A Jewish slave is a Jew. Talking about a Goyish slave, that's still a slave. Because a Goyish slave, when he's freed, becomes a full-fledged Jew. Like we learned. So now the Gemara says, Bishlam and Noshim, I understand Noshim don't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, Kiramarim, like we said before, because it says Zuchurcha. But, where do we learn out that Avodim don't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash? Why? Because like this. Slaves, we learned many times, when you buy a Goyish slave, you give him a bris, you put him in the mikveh, he's obligated in all the mitzvahs like women. Okay? But over here, that similarity wouldn't apply. Women you exclude because it says Zuchurcha. But if you have a male slave, then why should he be excluded? Even though he's obligated to mitzvahs like a woman, but still he's a male. So the exclusion of a woman doesn't apply to him. So the Gemara says, why shouldn't the Neved be chayiv to go up to the Beis HaMikdash? He's obligated to mitzvahs like a woman, but he's not a woman, so he should have the obligation to go. So the Gemara says, no, it's a logic. It says in the Pasuk, you have to go up, al pnei ha'odin avaya. You have to go up to the master God. So, mi she'en le'ele odin echot. It applies to a person that has only one master, meaning Hashem. Yotzezeh, but this slave, yes, li odin achot, he has another master. In other words, the fact that the Pasuk says, you have to go up to see the master, your master God, refers to a person who only God is the master. But a person that has somebody else as a master also does not have to be Eilu Regel. So the Gemara asks the question, 1 minute. Huh? Why don't you just say he's like a woman? Like we're discussing now. The Gemara says, why do I need a pasuk to exclude him? Mirti. Kol mitzvah shisha chayav is ba eved chayav. Any mitzvah woman has to do, a slave has to do. V'chol mitzvah she'in ish chayav is ba, any mitzvah woman doesn't have to do. Ein ha eved chayav ba, never doesn't have to do. Why? The gomer lo lo me'isha. Because by eved it says the word law, and by isha it says law. Where is this? By a get, it says the cost of law sefer krisis. By an amo, it also says the word law. So we learn out law eved from isha. So the gemara learns out any mitzvah women have to do, an eved has to do. Any mitzvah woman doesn't have to do, an eved doesn't have to do. So the Gemara says, if women don't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, so obviously an Eved would automatically be in the same category, so why do I need a pasuk to exclude that an Eved doesn't have to go up? If women don't, he automatically doesn't have to go. So the Gemara answers, Amar Avina, Ravina says, it refers to a half Eved. Elam, okay, Amar Avinu Inisrecha Elan Mishachetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chayin. It refers to a person who's half slave, half free. What? We learned already how that could be. Two people own a slave, and one frees him. Right?
So he's neither, or what's his status? The slave.
So the Torah says he doesn't have to go up. But now that he's half male, not biologically, now that he's obligated half mitzvahs like a man, in fact, when we learned this, the famous Gemara in Baba Basra, which brings out the machlokes between Basil and Bishamai, we learned it before here, on the first page of the Gemara. The Gemara brought it down. Yeah. A guy that's half slave and half Eved, half free, what do you do? So Gemara says simple. Beis Hillel said, he works one day, he's off one day. Finished. So Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, that's only a good thing for the master. What's with the Eved? He can't marry a free girl because he's half slave. He can't marry a slave because he's half free. So what do you do? No. So Beis Shammai said, Beis Hillel agreed to him. Beis Shammai said, you force the master to free him. And the Eved has a debt when he gets money to pay back that master for half his value. So in a practical case, you really don't have that scenario because you force him right away. But what happens if it didn't happen yet? So he's half Eved, half free, so he's potter from Eilu Regel. But a full-fledged Eved, the Gemara says, Yitaka don't need a pasuk. Why? Because if a woman doesn't have to, he doesn't have to, it's the same din. In fact, it's interesting, Alochan, again, it doesn't apply today, but the Alter Rebbe says it's really a Gemara, but a person that's half slave, half free, there's a lot of times they ask you, you know, you have yeshiva kids that are learning, you ask him, tell me a scenario where a guy can't even do a mitzvah for himself. Right.
Any mitzvah?
No, there's one mitzvah he can't even do for himself. Yes, kids, tell me a case when a guy can't even do a mitzvah for himself. The answer is, half slave, half free, can't even blow shofar for himself. Meaning, he's obligated to hear shofar because he's half free. Right? Once he's half free, he's like half man. But he can blow for himself because the blow is half slave, half free. So the half free is listening to a non-kosher voice of a shofar. So this is a scenario, it's like the only case where you find a guy can't even do a mitzvah for himself. A kid could blow shofar for himself. A kid could blow shofar for himself, right? Right. He's chayim drabanan, chinuch. So if he blows for himself, he did the mitzvah. You don't need dafkin adult blowing for a kid, right? But you have a case where an adult can't even do a mitzvah for himself, even if he knows how.
It's probably other mitzvahs too, not only that. To fill in, where to fill in that regard, he's obligated, not obligated.
Actually, I'll give you reading the Megillah. Let's see, he would have to, because women also have to hear the Megillah. So he could read it for himself. A woman could read the Megillah for herself. A cotton can, because he's only obligated to Rabbanim. Chinuch.
Yeah.
Two Drabanans.
So it's only, he would keep the status half and half until we want to marry him off then?
No, the Gemara Beis Shammai said you do it right away.
Beis Shammai agreed in there,
right? Yeah. The Gemara Bar Basra, the Gemara brings it down here. That's what I'm saying. So Ravina's scenario is only a temporary scenario. Right. In fact, you bring it on. Since we forced the master to free his half, we already regard the half slave as having only one master. Or like they say, the first move brings on, what happens is the guy didn't free him yet. Until the master freed him. The master is out of town. Yeah, and came Yom Tov. Does this guy have to go up or not? So Ravina said, the Pasuk excludes him. Yeah. Right. Evid, even he's a Jew. Right. No, that's when you bought him. Gemara says, the Rambam brings us down, that when you buy an Eved Kenani, you have to convince him to do a bris and go to the mikveh and be obligated in mitzvah like a woman. If he refuses, you work on him for a year. After the year, if he refuses, you have to get rid of him.
Can we keep him
no.
As
no.
Forever?
Yeah. Tavode Lailam. Lailam Tavedu.
Maybe a problem with laws of Yichud?
Sure, it would be. Yeah.
And it's at one point, you want to free him? Or
but in those days,
out as well.
When did the women go? Where did they go? As the expression goes, women used to be barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen.
Yeah, they're home.
I mean, where did the women go? They didn't go anywhere.
Home when the master's not.
Oh, so the shaliach, the slaves, taki would work with the masters in the field.
He doesn't have to go, but he could take them with him to carry his stuff.
Whatever, yeah.
Keep them barefoot and pregnant, am I right?
Barefoot.
You, Adam,
okay.
Keep it poor,
man. Thank an Amish. Thank an Amish. The Gemara says they even prove it that Ravina is right, because in the Brice it says, Noshim v'avodim she'enim meshuchrarim. Women and slaves that are not free. So he says, why would he mean enim meshuchrarim? Ilem enim meshuchrarim klal. If you tell me if slaves that are not free at all, let it just say avodim. There's an expression, Noshim and avodim are not free. If they're not free at all, that's Eved. What do you mean not free? Say Eved and finish. What does it mean? Stama, elav, it means shein meshuchon, legami, they're not completely freed. Umay ninu, who's a slave that's a slave and not completely freed? A person is jechatzib avid, vechatzib ben chayrin. A person is half free, half slave, and the Gemara says, shema minot, it's a good proof. Then the Gemara continues. Start the next piece of Gemara. It said in the Mishnah, achigur, a person who's crippled, Summa blind, the chayla v'zakin, sick or aged, meaning he cannot go up by foot, is not chayiv in eilu regel. By the way, that doesn't mean he has to go by foot. He has to be able to go by foot. Because the Gemara says, kol aroi lebila, ein bila ma'akev hezbei. If it's fit to be mixed, even if you don't mix it, is good. But if it has to be ready, able to be mixed. Right. So the same thing over here, the Gemara says, the fact that the Torah says you have to be eilu regel means you have to be able to go up by foot. That doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, that you must go up by foot. But if a guy's crippled, who's not able to walk up by foot, especially the Gemara learned before, up the Haramiriya, Harabayas, to walk up, so then he's not obligated to go. Okay, so the Gemara says this, Tana Rabban Rabban learned. The Golem, it says in the Torah, Shalosh Golem, Prat L'Bali Kabim. It excludes people with wooden feet. You know, God prevented if they had amputated feet, they put on wooden stumps in there. Dovet Acha, another interpretation of the word regolim, Prat L'Chigar, L'Chayla, L'Suma, L'Zokin, Shein Yochel, Alas, Beragwav, it excludes all these people that cannot go up by foot, whether they're crippled, they're sick, or blind, or old, whatever. So now the Gemara says, She'eni Yochel, Alas, Beragwav, Asuyimai. Why does the Mishnah add an additional? After saying all these things, the Mishnah adds, and anybody else who can't walk. I mean, who's that including? The Gemara said, Mefaniki. It's a person is not able to walk without shoes.
Like a Bedouin.
Huh?
Like the Bedouin.
No, he can't walk without shoes.
Oh, without shoes.
Without shoes. Now, they can't go up to the Beis HaMikdash with shoes, so the guy has to go up in order to wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash. Shalni alachem eragvacha. Yeah. Forbidden, tempted in the Temple Mount or wearing shoes. The Gemara is going to know from a pasuk. So a guy who can't go without shoes. No. Why do you think? Well, Kohenim is different, but Duchenim. The Gemara is going to learn later about this. We're going to talk about it. Okay, so the Gemara says, now it says, why do you have to go barefoot to the Beis HaMikdash? What do you learn out there after you be barefoot? It says in the Pasuk, Ki sivo l'reis panai, when you come to see my face, meaning when you come to appear before me in the Beis HaMikdash, mi bikesh zeis miyadchem. Who is asking this from your hands? B'nometcha said to trample my courtyards. Meaning trample is when you're wearing shoes. That's when you trample something. The Torah says, I need you to trample my courtyard. So what do we learn out from the Pasuk? You can't come out to the basement with shoes. This guy is not able to walk without shoes because he's too pa-pa-pa, you know? What's her name? Marcel Basbaisis. During the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, when she took off her shoe, when the servant didn't have, couldn't buy the flour, she took off her shoe and walked in the street. And she died from that. Yeah, either that or whatever, but the fact was, she was so funic, spoiled, that without shoes she couldn't walk. So it's interesting, you can create yourself a situation that you don't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash.
They took the shoes off at one entrance, and they walked out opposite entrance, and they had to walk all the way back to get the shoes?
I don't know how it worked.
Probably.
I don't know what they did. I honestly don't know how it worked. But can you imagine a million pairs of shoes there?
Maybe they could carry them.
So maybe they could. They will be allowed to carry it. They'll be allowed to carry it. For Rabbi Wolfshear, should be coming soon. Okay.